Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So over the last few weeks, we've been very heavily going into some very intense subjects with regards to dealing with the enemy, dealing with spiritual warfare, what we as the church are called to do in this time. And then at the same time, we've looked at what it means to be an overcomer. How many of you are so grateful that we're saved by grace and not of works? Amen. Because even your good works are like filthy rags. Amen. But the grace of God has just been so incredible to us and continues to work towards us. And so these last few sermons have been like an hour and 15 minutes long. And only about six people got, you know, tired and yawned, and they were all under 13. Okay, so anyone under the age of 16, if I catch you falling asleep, please be warned in advance that I, you know, it's like my flesh just rises up in me and I say things that are very upsetting to the adults. So I'm warning you now in advance, don't fall asleep if you're young, because I will come after you. Amen. Amen. All right, so today will be a shorter message, because I really feel I want to deal with something that's in the atmosphere right now. Over the last few weeks, I've been sharing and speaking to many, many believers. And with everything going on right now in our nation, unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of fear. And so this morning, I want to deal with that. And so the title of the message is Fear Has an Enemy. We need to take a position of offense instead of defense. I've been teaching you this over the last few months. Don't be a defensive Christian, be an offensive Christian. So it's not like we have an enemy, he has an enemy. And we're coming after him. Is that okay? Because death has lost its sting. Are you with me? You must understand that love has paid the ultimate price so that you don't have to fear anything, and that includes death. I want you to understand how powerful that really is. When we begin to live a life like Paul lived, we will begin to understand that there's nothing to fear. When Paul made a statement, he said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And then he goes on and he begins to speak about why he's trying to convince himself that it's better for him to stay on this planet instead of graduate to go into the afterlife and spend eternity with God. It's because he had such a faith and understood the love of God and what had been done on that cross, so that you and I can live here. And then basically, I always say it's like stepping into the next life. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't be afraid of the 666. Don't be afraid of the beast. Don't be afraid of the Antichrist. And for goodness sake, don't be afraid of coronavirus. Don't worry about a few riots in wherever. Don't worry about it. Don't get caught up though in the things of this world. Don't get caught up in that, because as soon as you begin to engage in the argument, you are submitting to yourself to the prince of the power of the air, who works in the sons of disobedience, who will provoke you to respond in your flesh. Our battle is not in the flesh. The Bible says that our battle is not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. We do not battle against the things of the flesh. We battle against principalities and powers. So that's where we need to learn to fight. Are you with me, guys? So there's an enemy right now that wants to cripple the church. And at a time like this, the church has to stand strong. But where's the problem in the life of a believer? You see, there's things that will come to you, suggestions that will come to you, and you need to recognize them for what they are, a suggestion. So when the enemy comes, one of the descriptions of Satan is Diablo, devil, Diablo, and it means to blow. So he actually speaks and suggests and accuses and will try and bring something that will cripple you because of what he's actually bringing against you. The most important thing with you as a Christian is you can listen to the suggestion, but you must protect, listen to me now, your heart. Above all things, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, look at this. Keep your heart with all diligence. keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, with all that's within you, protect, cover, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You will begin to see that the things of this world, that the pressures of this world, fear, and what the enemy is trying to rage against the entire planet right now, will begin to manifest in you if you've allowed it to begin to affect your heart. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what will happen is you'll find that whatever's in you will begin to eventually pour out of you. So faith is what we need. Are you with me, guys? Is there anybody out there? Amen. Amen. Dave, is your family here with you? Man, it's just an honor to have you guys here. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And we just, you know, we love you guys. And, you know, amen. Amen. All right, let's move on. So I want you to understand that we have to protect our hearts. And one of the enemies, one of the greatest enemies that Satan will use against you is fear. Fear comes against us in many different forms. Fear can be a fear of death. It can be a fear of failure. And I want you to see the two different sides, but I want you to recognize that both are fear. Some people are afraid of the dark. They fear the dark. Some people are afraid of losing a loved one. Losing what we possess, losing our possessions, the things we have, a fear of losing that. Some people are really scared or afraid or fearful of the devil or demon spirits or monsters or gremlins or what goes bump in the night or something like that. I want you to know they're all the same thing, demonic, okay? And they are under your feet, okay? Man, I don't like the devil, so I kind of just want to go after him, okay? Some people are scared of speaking in public. Many of you are afraid of little insects, right? Confession time, I'm not a big fan of snakes. We're afraid of insects, afraid of snakes. And some people are really scared of getting sick. Now, you don't have to submit to the suggestion. And the Bible teaches us that fear is not our portion. In fact, the primary scripture, the main scripture for today is 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Remember, fear has an enemy. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want you to know that you must recognize what fear is. Fear is a spirit. God has given you a different spirit. Everybody say, I have a different spirit. When you were born again, your spirit came alive. And the spirit that He's given you is born again. It's a new spirit. And that spirit that you have on the inside of you, because of the Holy Spirit that now dwells inside you and is teaching you and is leading you and is guiding you, will not be anything like that spirit of fear that's in the world. Your spirit is different. Your spirit will resist that spirit of fear. But I want you to understand that it is new. It is born again. So when your spirit is born again, it's like a child that comes out of the womb. When it comes out of the womb, it doesn't know everything yet. It has to be taught. It has to learn. Are you with me? Your spirit will need to grow. But in order for that to happen, you must begin to trust in what God says in His word. So for example, if He's not given us a spirit of fear, what type of spirit has He given us? He's given us a spirit of power. Everybody say power. I want you to know that the spirit that you have on the inside of you is a spirit of power. Acts 1 verse number 8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You must understand that the enemy will bring fear so that he can stop that power that's on the inside of you, because God has given you a spirit of power. The Holy Spirit has come upon you and empowered you. But you see, what fear will do is it will resist what's in you. It will come against what's in you so that you can become depowered. That's a good word right there. Does that even exist? Not now. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will empower you. He will give you power. That's what's in you. That's what you have available. Fear comes to stop that power. But the Bible wants you to know that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. You have that on the inside of you. So nothing should be able to stop you. Are you with me, guys? All right, I'm so glad about four of you are excited about that. That's great. Now watch, John 14, 27 says this, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want you to notice specifically the word heart there again. You must understand that the enemy will bring suggestions, but the Bible says, don't let your heart receive what the enemy's throwing at you. Don't let your heart be troubled, because if you can protect your heart, you will not need to be afraid anymore. Are you with me? When the enemy comes, you need to know there's a power inside you that is available for you to resist what the enemy is bringing at you. Power. The peace that God gives you, you may think, well, what has that got to do with power? It has everything to do with power. When Jesus got up and he said to the storm, "Be still," there was a peace that came. And what you must recognize is what had just taken place was a massive storm was silenced because of that peace. That is power. That's the power that you have inside you when a storm comes your way, when a virus comes your way, when a situation comes your way, when the politics are raging, when the demons are screaming. All you have to do is cry out to him and there will be a peace released that has power to stop the enemy in his tracks. I only need one. Just one. The second thing he's given us, the Bible says, it says, "For he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." God has given us a spirit of love. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit," and there's a capital, "of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." This is so powerful, because what this really represents is when you were born again, your spirit was born again, and you now have a new identity. You have now been adopted into Christ. You are no longer the same, but now it's Christ that lives in you. And I want you to know that because of who you are in God, now you have authority. Now you have power, and there's a love released to you to stand against any force that the enemy would bring against you. Fear is not your portion. Fear is your enemy. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You must understand that there is no need for you to fear anymore, because there was a love that was poured out for you on that cross, that no matter what he had to face, that love was made perfect, and that love is available to you. And if you accept it, if you receive it, you must understand there's nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Don't worry about Corona Shmona. Don't worry about what the enemy brings against you in your finances. Don't worry about it. Young man, I don't know who you are, but I want you to know that the Lord has marked you, young man. Your life is about to change. You've just come out of recovery, and you will see the Lord's hand on your life. You will see he's going to take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Sorry, I have not got a mask. I want you to know that this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. Take the hand of the Lord, young man, and begin to run with him. There's a fire that's coming on you. There's a fire and a passion that's coming on you. These are the days of Elijah, says the Lord, and I will raise you up. Come on now. Somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout. I only need somebody to step out in faith. I only need one person to believe with me. That's all it takes. You can submit to fear. But you see, because I understand, I'm so thankful I understand. I only understand because I'm desperate. You see, that's why Paul said, he prayed that you would come to the knowledge of who God really is. That you would begin to understand, that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would begin to see. This is what he prayed for the church in Ephesus desperately. A church that believed and loved and served God. But he said, listen, I just want you to come to the knowledge of God. Begin to see, begin to understand. Because as you begin to do that, as you begin to do that, so your eyes begin to open and you begin to believe. That's why I can be at a funeral, a memorial service, and I can watch three sons get up there and worship God because they know exactly where their mama's gone. And that's such a testimony of faith and power. It's such a testimony. Are you with me, guys? And so we know that it's just a step. There's no difference. Death has lost its sting. Are you with me? You have nothing to fear. Your perspective must begin to change. That's why Paul said to you, keep your eyes on the prize. Run your race. Finish strong. You've got to be someone that desires it. You've got to be someone that wants to run and win that race with all of your heart, because that's when you begin to see and begin to hear and begin to understand. Man, I could go to town. It's not funny, Joey. You know, Jesus said that he would send another helper. And if you study it, when you study what Jesus meant when he said he would send the Holy Spirit, he was saying, I'm going to send one that's going to be just like me. Therefore, the next part of the scripture is so powerful. It says that he will give us power, love, and a sound mind. The Greek word for sound mind is the word sophronismos. And basically what it means is it actually means, yes, sound mind, self-control, self-discipline, or to act sensibly. In other words, I want you to recognize that you have in you the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, and your spirit can respond when fear comes your way in a sensible way, responding the way that God has taught you to do. When fear comes, when a situation comes, and all your feelings and emotions want to react the way that the world would, you don't act that way because you have a sound mind. Isaiah 26 verse number 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace. He's talking about you. You will be kept in perfect peace. Now watch. Whose mind stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's the key, guys. No matter what comes your way, when you're feeling the pressure, when the fear becomes overwhelming, keep your trust and your faith in him. Put your mind on him, his ways, his words, his thoughts. He thinks good thoughts towards you. He wants to bless you and to prosper you. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want to destroy you. These are things that we have to begin to understand. Are you with me? Keep your mind on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Proverbs 12, 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Think carefully about what I just said. Anxiety in the where? So it's not the mind, it's the heart. Don't allow the suggestion to infiltrate your heart, because the suggestion, the thoughts will come. The devil, Diablo, blow. He will suggest, he will blow, he will try and infiltrate your mind. What's important is at that point that you resist him, submit to God, and guess what? He will flee. Are you with me? So you have to submit yourself to God. Don't allow anxiety to overwhelm you. I don't know why I'm feeling depressed. There's a great chance you've been anxious. You've been worried. You've been concerned. This coronavirus, this country of ours is in trouble. We're going to have so many problems. I don't know what's going to happen. I could say a lot more, but half of you will love me and half of you will hate me. Amen. That's well said. Amen. He is coming. Are you with me, guys? Now look at the second part of the verse. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. He's given you a sound mind. The Holy Spirit will lead you to a good word that will bring healing, that will bring deliverance, that will resist the suggestion of the enemy. When fear comes to attack you, when fear comes to destroy you, when fear comes to stop you, no one, you don't have to be plagued by your past. You don't have to be plagued by someone in your family, even from the past. It will not be your portion. It will not be your portion. You will not follow suit. Depression will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over depression right now. And I bind you now. I break your power. You will not have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, a good word makes it glad. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A good word makes your heart glad. A good word will resist what the enemy brings at you. Faith begins to increase when you reach out and take a hold of God's word and say, this is not my portion, Satan. This word is against you in Jesus' name. Come on. Man, the droplets were just going everywhere, but luckily they fell right there. Amen. I actually saw them. So you're okay. Oh, Jesus. Fear has an enemy. Naturally, you begin to think this. You begin to think, well, the enemy of fear is faith. The enemy of fear is Jesus. That's the enemy. If you can take a hold of him and begin to have faith and begin to believe what he says is truth, begin to live it and breathe it, even when things don't go the way we hope they will, that's when faith is working and true love has begun to really operate through you. Man, it's powerful. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 56, verse number 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. The key, guys, is to not submit to fear, but to put your trust, to put your faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll get you through every situation. That force that comes against you, that fear, that spirit that comes against you will be destroyed because of your trust, your faith in who Jesus is. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. Everybody say nothing. This is so powerful. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is so good. Because what this scripture is trying to teach us is that when we have that suggestion of anxiety or fear, there is a way to destroy that. How do we do it? We go to Him. What happens is most of us, when we have a problem, I just need to let you know, this is the problem. Facebook, I just want you all to know that the devil's coming. Have you heard? The devil is coming. Instead of taking that fear, instead of taking that suggestion to where you'll have the victory, the Bible says, be anxious of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Because what you've said when you make a decision to take that suggestion to God is that, Father, I trust in you. I don't believe man's going to have the solution. I don't believe that by spreading the news about this that I'm concerned about is going to have the solution. I believe the solution is in you. I don't have to fear. I can trust in you. I can bring my requests, my supplications, my prayers. And by the way, God, I just want to thank you for what you did for me yesterday. By the way, God, I want to thank you what you did for my parents. By the way, God, I want to give you thanks for what you did in the life of David. By the way, God, I just want to give you thanks because if you did it before, I know you can do it again, God. So I come to you. I put my faith in you. I put my thanks in you. I put my trust in you. And take a look at the next verse. And when you do that, heaven responds. Heaven responds, because this is not normal when you're in a storm. When you're in a storm and all hell is broken loose and you make a decision to go to the King and you make a decision to cry out to Him, heaven responds with a peace which surpasses understanding. And have a look at what the Bible says, because that peace that surpasses understanding will do something. It will guard your heart. It will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that if you put your trust and your faith in Him and you go to Him, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws against you, He will get you through it. He will get you through it. Well, I need to go on Facebook and just see if everybody else thinks that the mask is the Muslim spirit. You can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Now, remember, I love you. Take a look at this. Psalm 34, verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all. Everybody say all. Say it again. From all my fears. Isn't that so powerful? Deuteronomy 31 verse number 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you and He will not forsake you. Listen, guys, this must be a prayer that's in your heart. No matter how you feel, you must know that He will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. He's for you. Don't look at their faces. Don't listen to the suggestions of the enemy. Those who accuse you, those who point a finger at you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You need to know that He's got you, that He's with you, that He'll protect you, that He'll go before you. You need to know it. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to go before God when I feel like I'm all alone and I cry out, He will never leave me nor forsake me. You see, the problem is, He won't leave you or forsake you because He's in you. He's in you. I remember Kim Clements, he wrote this song and he said these words. He said, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, it's not because presidents have declared it. It's not because nations have been changed by it. He says a whole list of things. He said, it's because who is this living inside of me? Who is this breathing and living inside of me that's leading me? Lord, I can't stop serving you. I can't stop following you. Your word is like a fire that's shut up in my bones. It doesn't matter if they fall at the left side, at the right side. It doesn't matter what comes my way, Father. I can't stop because you're a part of me. You're in me. You've changed me. I have to follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. I know that you're with me. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter what pressure there is. I know that you're with me and you'll get me through this. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how bad it feels. I want you to know that He's with you, that He's leading you and guiding you. He will never leave you. Come on. And I'll close with this scripture. Maybe. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. But no. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. Are you redeemed in this place?
Amen.
I have called you by your name. You are mine. Thus says the Lord. Fear not. I have redeemed you. And I've called you by name. And you are mine. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but yet that spirit rages against us and works in the sons of disobedience and is influenced by the prince of the power of the air. And Father, there is a spirit right now in this nation that desires to cripple us with fear. But we stand, Father, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard against him. And we are a peculiar people. Yes, we are, Father. For in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the flood, you will raise us up, Lord. And we will be a people that will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings, who rose again and is coming again to collect his bride. And Father, I thank you that your word says that the harvest is the end of the age. And we anticipate that harvest that is still to come. And right now, as fear rages and lifts its head and points at us and accuses us, we will stand clothed in the full armor of God, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Therefore, we can stand. We can stand in this hour. We can stand against any storm. We can stand against any attack of the enemy. And Father, we just give you thanks and praise. Oh God, how grateful we are that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Father, let my name not just be written there so that I can make it to heaven. But Lord, let me be a warrior in your kingdom. Let me stand, Father, and let me run that race as you desire. Lord, let me not miss a heartbeat, Father. Let me not miss a moment that you have for me, Father, that I may go and do your will on this earth, Lord. Father, I pray for every person that's in this place and under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you will raise them up for such an hour as now. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of fear now in Jesus' name. And I break your power. I command you to go in Jesus' name. It will not be your portion. It will not be your portion. And Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise. I give you all of the glory and the honor in this place. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's worship the Lord one more time. Let's sing to Him this morning with all of our hearts. Come on, guys. Come on, let's sing it. Let it come from your belly. Let it come from your heart. Put them louder. Put the band louder. So, Father, this morning in this place, we stand with the saints of old, Lord, that served you and followed you all the days of their life. Let that be our portion, Lord, that we would run this race and that we would finish strong, Lord. And even now, there is a cloud of witnesses cheering us on, that we would finish strong and do all that we are called to do. Father, we thank you with all of our hearts this morning in this place. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be His name. Now and forevermore. Blessed be your name. Say it again. Sing it again. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Now I pray, Father, that every single person in this place would be filled with your peace. A peace that surpasses understanding, not as the world gives it. For your peace comes, Lord, in the midst of a storm and has the power to silence it. And so I pray, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with each and every person as they leave this place today. Blessed be the name of our Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.